And now it's time for Inside Voices with Kevin Causey-Thomas, a local discussion focused on systemic racism, injustice, and hate in our country. Although we may not always agree, the aim of Inside Voices is to confront these truths together by sharing the voices of those facing these struggles and to find a path to making things better. We invite you to listen to this ongoing conversation. And now, here's Kevin.
And welcome, Black men and women, people of all races, colors, nationalities, allies in the struggle. This is another episode of Inside Voices. I'm your host, Kevin Causey-Thomas, and you're listening here on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com. And we're pleased to have everybody tuning in. This is an ongoing conversation about race, social justice, inequality, and what we can do to make the world a better place. And I have a special guest with us here today. She is a community activist, also works in the nonprofit sector, her community works in Carrboro, amongst other things that she does to support the community and the culture. And we have her here today to talk about all the issues surrounding nonprofits led by people of color and how things can be done differently. So make some noise, clap wherever you are for Miss Barbara Jessie Black.
And, hey, Causey.
Hey, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm really pleased to be here. And I just want to give you a shout out for, well, and the management here at WCHL for putting this all together. I think these are important conversations that you're having and, you know, continue to have them because right. I think it's important for us to be in community together and talk about things.
Well, yeah. You were one of the people on the list.
Well, thank you.
To have on.
It's good to be on this list.
Right on, yeah. Well, we want people that this is an ongoing conversation for. It's not just the topic of the moment, right?
Right.
This is something that you've dedicated your life's work to.
Absolutely.
And so we're definitely glad to get into some conversation with you here. And we were talking a little bit, you know, before the show about, you know, nonprofits and the challenges that some nonprofits face that, you know, are led by people of color. And
right.
So can you give us a little bit of background into what you do and, you
sure.
know, and some insight on this conversation?
Yeah. So I've been in the nonprofit sector for about 20 years as some sort of executive, right? Either as a founder of a nonprofit or in my current position as president and CEO of Community Works. And I'll say, you know, when we talk, it's like talking about family, right? You bring up things that are a little push and pull with family, but you do it out of love and you do it because you want your family to be well and to continue to thrive. And so the discussions that, you know, that I have with colleagues around nonprofits being led by people of color and how that funding is not always equitable relative to how our white counterparts are funded is all in an effort to sort of shed light to that. I'm not the only person that's shedding light on that. That's been a challenge for all of us who are running nonprofits as people of color since the inception of nonprofits. I mean, that's just sort of how the game is played, if you will. But there's an opportunity now with what's happening on the global level relative to the pandemic to really do some things a little bit differently. And there's some really great leaders in philanthropy, some who are philanthropists of color, other who are white allies, who are really looking at how can we do funding differently. Because funding a lot of times is done on the programmatic level. So a funder sees a program that seems to be impactful, and they want to fund that. When really, it's the organization that needs to be funded so that they can continue to do the program. And what, if nothing else, COVID has taught us that funding can be done differently. You know, when COVID first hit, there were a lot of foundations and philanthropists who were like, yeah, let's deploy funds immediately.
Sure.
In a crisis, let's get those funds out there so that nonprofits can continue to exist. And that was done without a whole lot of constraints, without a ton of accountability for the nonprofits, without a ton of what we call hoops,
yeah.
You know, jumping through hoops. And we know that it works, right? A lot of us are still around 5 months into this because of philanthropists and funders who saw a need and who acted quickly.
Right.
And so we want to continue that momentum because we can't go back to the way it was prior to that. It's not sustainable, and nonprofits won't succeed if that, you know, if that continues.
Right.
So I'll just leave it there for, you know, mm-hmm. for right now. But that's why I'm here, right? That's
sure.
the discussion.
Yeah. And because, you know, the topic of the moment in the world and the subject around Black Lives Matter and social justice and all of the different layers of inequality when we talk about what's systemic. Mm-hmm. Now you add a pandemic on top of that,
right?
With an unemployment rate, with, you know, that's affecting everyone, mm-hmm. right? Loss of jobs, and another wave of what we're talking about getting into now that it's going into the fall, you know, and you know, the work of nonprofit organizations is so important mm-hmm. in this time. How do we continue this conversation going? Because I feel like now that the news is starting to turn
right.
off a little bit,
right.
like how do we keep this conversation front and center for people that want to, you know,
yeah.
stay focused?
You know, you bring up a good point, because the conversation for those of us who are in the sector, it's always front and center, right? I mean, you know, to your point about the news, you know, we're keenly aware of what's happening in the sector, and especially, you know, relative to what does our funding look like, you know, 5 months down the road, you know, a year down the road, given that the pandemic isn't over and there's so much uncertainty still, you know, still with us. That said, you're right, the news cycle, you know, we're not making the news at the moment, right? I mean, right. if you think about the jobs that were shed just in the sector alone between March and June, it was roughly 1.6 million, right? Those are people that are either still looking for opportunity or have given up altogether, right? I mean, you know, they're somewhere in the middle. And so I would say that I think we have to make our own noise.
Right.
And, you know, we do that either through social media or we do that through our networks. We do that with opportunities like you're giving me today, right, to have this conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
And to just continue to talk amongst ourselves and in community where, you know, people may not understand what it means to either run a nonprofit as a person of color or be part of a nonprofit or to work with people for whom nonprofit jobs are part of what makes them whole. And so I think just keeping that conversation going and really establishing more opportunities for conversation, right? Not being so siloed and just having that conversation in the nonprofit sector, but having it like you and I are doing again, or having it with your local chamber, or having it, you know, in other spaces where people might not be as familiar with nonprofits as, you know, as we are, the folks that work in it.
Right on, because this is ongoing. We don't want to fall asleep on this. This is the work that needs to continue, even after the news cuts it off.
Right.
And, you know, once it's not of interest to mass media anymore, it's not the hashtag of the moment anymore. Mm-hmm. These issues continue to go on, and it's why a lot of the work that you're doing is important. And we want to talk about that. And when we come back, we're talking with Barbara Jesse Black from Community Works, and we're talking about nonprofit organizations and what we can do to help. This is Inside Voices with your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
And welcome back to Inside Voices. This is your host, Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill. And we're continuing our conversation with Barbara Jesse Black, CEO of Community Works, nonprofit organization, who's here with us talking about all the good work that nonprofits do, and especially ones led by people of color, some of the challenges that they face. And, yeah, so Community Works. So let's talk about that. Tell us a little bit about that and the work that you do.
Sure. So first let me say, yes, the Orange County and specifically Chapel Hill and Carrboro are rich with nonprofit organizations doing a lot of really good work. And so I'm pleased that we're actually talking about this, right, that we're lifting up the nonprofit sector here in our community. That said, I'm privileged to have worked for Community Works formerly known as PTA Thrift Shop since 2004. At the time when I got to PTA Thrift Shop, now Community Works, we were an organization that had only had I was the second executive director in the history of the organization. So we'll celebrate our 70th birthday in a couple of years, right? So if you think about nonprofits generally, we don't live that long,
sure.
right?
Right?
We don't live to be 70. And so, you know, knowing that and the rich and fullness of that organization in this community, I felt really privileged to be able to be part of the team. That said, you know, when you look at nonprofit organizations, especially one like ours, Community Works, We had been doing the same thing for so many years. And that was supporting students in the classroom, mm-hmm. right? So we were doing that with funds, and we were doing some really good work with that. Additionally, we were also supporting communities outside of students in the classroom, right? So primarily families and other organizations, and you know, primarily with partnerships. And so as we progressed into, you know, the mid-2000s and, you know, into 2010, 11, we realized that from a nonprofit perspective, how we were staying relevant, what was sustainable, we needed to do a little pivot, right? And so after the Great Recession hit, our pivot was we need to figure out a strategy to continue to stay relevant and also to diversify our business model, right? So we did. In Carrboro, you know, if you're in Carrboro at any time, you'll see that we've got a campus that has our store operations, but it also has an accelerator space called YouthWorks on Main. And that was designed primarily because of our partnerships with other organizations, and we saw a need that there were organizations who were supporting youth and families who didn't have the infrastructure to grow, right? And these were some of the same organizations and same families and students that we were supporting inside the classroom. And so we created this accelerator space to help those organizations build capacity, which then, you know, creates this ripple effect of impact. Mm-hmm. And I'll say in 2017 is when we opened YouthWorks on Main. And since then, we've experienced a measurable success for those organizations, right? We've got six tenants, all of whom have had, an exponential impact and upward trajectory than they did prior to that. And that was because they're able to coalesce in one space, work off each other if necessary, but also have infrastructure, right? Have this infrastructure that allows them to grow without having to worry about how to keep the lights on. And that gets us back to the funding piece, right? So how do you help nonprofits to grow and continue to have impact? Well, you take away some of the stressors of trying to raise funds to, you know, find a space to live, to, you know, keep the lights on, et cetera. And so we're really proud of that work. Not only that work, but also the work of Community Works, the thrift shop, which has a workforce development component. So a lot of those folks who have kids in the school system also are able to find jobs with us, right? And so it's this nice synergistic community, if you will. I mean, hence the new name,
right?
Community
on.
Works.
Right on.
Because it does. It puts name to the fact that it's not just about students, but it's about students and family, or youth and family. And so, you know, our name is now Community Works, and our tagline is Youth, Equity, and Opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so that all, you know, it's interconnected, and it's interconnected because that's what our community is here.
Right.
Right? We're, you know, that's us.
Right.
That's us in this community.
I love that element of it. It's because, you know, the rain goes into the soil, grows the food. It's that same type of concept that we're raising, you know, instilling and mentoring the kids, the future that's going to end up, you know, coming back, helping run and revitalize this community and teach the next kids. And then, you know, I love that too. What nonprofit has always struck me as grassroots level, the people that actually care, the people that actually, you know, want to make a difference about the issues that concern them, right? That they can roll their sleeves up and get their hands dirty or connect with people in their community. It's the people not waiting for someone to come save them.
Right.
The people that will link with each other in the community and put their resources together and try to figure out a way that works in the immediate tense. And so I definitely dig that. And you know, and we're sitting here talking, you know, I know we were having a conversation about, you know, the difference in funding that, you know, that people receive, right? And, you know, can we touch on that? Because having a nonprofit that can be representing the exact same cause as, say, another nonprofit that represents the exact same cause, and one can be led by a person of color, far be it, a woman that mm-hmm. could be that person of color. And then when it comes time for funding grants mm-hmm. and these types of things, then things get a little different there.
Right.
Can we speak about that?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. The statistics on that are really clear. Mm-hmm. The statistics are that organizations that are led by people of color and primarily women of color, so black women, are funded at a less – first of all, there aren't that many, right? I mean, so as if you sort of think about the largesse of the nonprofit sector in North Carolina, there are roughly between 11,000 and 12,000 nonprofits in the state of North Carolina. Statistically, less than 20% are run by people of color slash women of color. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really small amount. That said, those – first of all, it's a small number. Mm-hmm. And then you lay on top of that the fact that funding doesn't always – funding is not the great equalizer, right?
Right.
And funding is not doled out in a way that makes everybody whole. Because from a perspective of a funder, if you're a known entity – and of course, I'm generalizing, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
There are funders that are doing mm-hmm. some really amazing and innovative work relative to how they're funding. But sort of as a general rule, you know, funding is done if I know your organization and know your programming, you're more than likely to get funding from me because we have a relationship. We've built a rapport.
Sure.
And I know you,
sure.
more or less. If you look at who's funding, a lot of those organizations are white-led, board of trustees are white. And so there's sort of a familial component to, you know, if I look like you, if you and I are you know, simpatico,
right.
as
right.
they say, that you're funding, I will fund you because I have an affinity towards you. You know, as a general rule, that's neither good nor bad because, you know, you and I know that if you and I vibe, we vibe,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But that's not really how funding should be,
right?
Right. Funding needs to go beyond that and needs to look at what work is actually being done and the fact that, you know, marginalized communities are, especially if they're nonprofits that are run by people of color, need to have the same access to funding as white-led organizations.
Sure.
And so I would say that there's a paradigm shift that has to happen. And a lot of the shifts are happening in philanthropic organizations that are run by people of color, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Or where there are people of color who are in the C-suite, if you will,
mm-hmm.
who really understand that, you know, we can't continue to fund organizations only led by white people, even if all of their constituents and all of their client base are people of color or other marginalized communities. We have to look at what are organizations doing who are led by people of color, and how do we push money into that realm?
Sure.
And so the challenge, you know, we all have, all of us who are running organizations have these anecdotal stories about, yeah, you know, I applied for this grant, I knew I was a shoo-in, had a really great site visit, and didn't get funded,
what
turn
happened?
Around, and you see the next person get funded, you look at who that person is, and you realize, oh, that person's a, you know, is not a person of color, you begin to wonder whether or not was it because I'm a person mm-hmm. of color or not. And then the statistics actually bear that out,
right.
that is a real thing. And so my personal work in this space is, A, to lift this up, right, to highlight this.
Sure.
And to really have an honest conversation about it, because I think it's a function of our history. It's a microcosm of the macro level of how this country was built and how money has always changed hands, right? And
right.
so I would argue that COVID has provided this opportunity that pre-COVID wasn't there or didn't highlight, right?
Right.
And we talked about this early on, you know, earlier in our conversation
yeah.
offline, that all the things that were challenging pre-COVID really had a spotlight put on them
mm-hmm.
during COVID and will continue. And that's kind of where we are now, right? I mean, the sector is in such a place that there are a lot of people talking about shifting the paradigm and how funding is doing.
Right.
There are a lot of organizations that are doing some really good work around that. And so that's the momentum that needs to continue.
Right on.
Yeah.
And when we talk about, we've talked about on this show, the leadership of black women and the movements and the causes and the issues that we're speaking to, Black Lives Matter, the organization in particular. Even we've talked about Me Too on this show as well, and Tawana Burke and her being the person that, you know, canonized that hashtag and made that a thing. And, you know, this theme continues. And so is it a surprise that then, you know, that people want to label that organization a terrorist Marxist group because it's led by three Black women that aren't taking any junk?
Right.
Is it's the parallels of what we talk about. And so how does that play into, because the willingness to start and you know, kind of this, as this awareness continues corporately and they want to write a check for it, people be like, don't give that to them.
Right.
Do you know? And this is, I think, a smaller, you know, piece of what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And I will say, you know, I'm always respectful when I'm in spaces, you know, having this conversation, because I understand that there are a lot of feelings around it.
Sure.
But I also know that if we don't bring voice to it, if we don't call a thing, you know, we can't fix it,
right?
We can't, you know, we can't lift it up and say, this is this is how wrong this is, right? This is how wrong this is. Mm-hmm. And this is not just how wrong it is on a national scale, but the sector is suffering because people of color, specifically Black women who are running organizations, are not getting the same kind of funding as their white counterparts, right? So, you know, it's funny, we could have this conversation for hours just based on Black women and how we show up in organizations and in movements and how we're not appreciated for how we show up.
I know.
When all we're trying to do is lift up and bring voice and heal. Right. So, you know, I think that's the interesting part. You should do a show.
I'm going to bring you back on. That's going to be part two when we bring Barbara Jesse Black back on. Expect that to be the subject matter. But yeah, we're continuing our conversation right now. Nonprofit organizations. It's been amazing. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be back with more after this. And now, back to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Once again, here's Kevin.
And welcome back to Inside Voices. This is Kevin Kazi Thomas. You're listening on 97.9 The Hill. And we're continuing our conversation with Barbara Jesse Black, CEO of Community Works in Carrboro, a nonprofit organization. And we've been talking about all the issues surrounding nonprofits led by women of color, people of color, how fundings and things happen differently, and the work that you do in the community. And on the show, we always like to bring it back and end with, you know, optimism, hope, positivity, what we can do to help or make things better. So for people that want to get involved, what can they do?
Yeah. So I think it's worth that ending on a positive note is always great. Right. So I'll say, I think you should just support your local nonprofits in whatever way you can. No gesture is too small. If that means just reaching out to a nonprofit and saying thank you, that means the world to us, right? Because right now we're all just head down and trying to push forward. Also understanding that, you know, in whatever way you support the nonprofit, and this is monetary now, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in whatever way that makes sense to you, is to know that all nonprofits are trying to be the best stewards of your money or your donation, be it monetary or, you know, for in our case, merchandise, to the best of our ability. And to know that we are constantly looking to strive to do better with what we have and to make sure that members of our community who don't have as much have access to those resources. And so I would say I'd bring it home to just support your nonprofit in whatever way you can, because especially in this community, it's a small community and there are so many of us who are in the nonprofit sector who are doing really good work.
Right.
And, you know, the community is incredibly generous. And so, you know that your generosity, even during this hard time, because I know a lot of the folks that are supporting nonprofits are having their own financial challenges right now. Know that in whatever way you support us, it's appreciated, and it's appreciated even more now because we know that folks that typically have a lot may not have as much as they had pre-COVID,
right.
But are still, are still supporting us in some way. And by us, I mean the nonprofit sector here in this community generally. Right. So I would say a huge thank you and shout out to, you know, the community at large, because these are tough times, right? And there's so many places where you can put your money or your time. And all of us need you, and all of us are grateful, yeah. right? Now, of course, I'm generalizing and speaking for the entire community here relative to nonprofits, but I think it's helpful to say that. I mean, I'm sure. in spaces a lot where we talk about how grateful we are for the people in our community who are still supporting us, even when they're having challenges. Mm-hmm. So I would say that would be the positive thing, right? Just to know that we're appreciative of whatever support we get collectively, and we know that, you know, that hashtag, we're all in this together and yeah. we're better together,
sure.
really is, that's accurate, right? That's true. Mm-hmm. None of us can do this work alone. We're dependent on the people around us and the community around us. So, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel it's important to support the people that support the causes that are important to us, because in our Monday through Fridays and picking up kids mm-hmm. and going to school and going to work, how much, like, work do we do, you know, do we as individuals get to put towards our social work, that, you know, our greater community work? And we have people like you and other people that have dedicated their lives towards this community work. And so supporting you all is, you know, I think putting energy in the right place. A lot of people feel helpless or don't know where to start, or they're not a marcher mm-hmm. or a protester. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a grind, you know, of this work involved as
right.
well. And I think that, you're invested in people that are invested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness of how to support, you know, your organizations and your causes
right.
is important. And that's what we're bringing attention to here on the show today. So thank you for being here.
Well,
number one, you will be back. I want to get into equity. I'm going to bring you back, and we're going to talk about a bunch of other
okay,
stuff.
All right.
But
how,
for anybody that wants to get in touch with you, how
sure,
can they reach
sure.
out to you?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So you can get in touch with me via email.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bjessie-black.
Mm-hmm.
at communityworksnc.org. You can also follow us on social media. So Community Works is on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. And you can see me on LinkedIn. So Barbara Jessie Black on LinkedIn. And
right.
just, you know, come shop with us when we're open.
Right
you
on.
Know, that's the other way.
Yeah.
The other thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, so thank you for having me.
For sure. And I'm going to say, too, that, that it's one of those things where it's like, whenever I'm looking for new cool things to wear, like from my music side, I go through there yeah. and pick up a few things, too, just on a fashion note. But, thank you for coming on the show. And, this has been another episode of Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas. Make sure you turn in every week at 2:30 on Sunday right here at 97.9 The Hill. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Inside Voices with Kevin Kazi Thomas on 97.9 The Hill. Catch this episode and more by visiting our on-demand page at chapelboro.com.